Turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're discovering from God's word who we really are. Who we really are. And if we understand who we really are, then that means we can throw away the ideas of what we're not. The lies that have been told to us, the false impressions that we've had, and we can discover what God says and embrace that and live from that reality and no other reality. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." Last week we saw that another translation says, you're not a slave, a fearful slave. "But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Message Bible in verse 16 says, God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who he is and we know who we are, Father and children. Tell your neighbor, I know who I really am. All right, no mistaken identity, no uncertainty. We allow God to give us our real identity. Look at Galatians chapter 4. We saw this last week, in a sense, really a parallel text from Romans 8. Galatians 4 and verse 4, it says, "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children." Notice there's a contrast. You can't be a slave and a child at the same time. We saw in Luke chapter 15 that the prodigal son thought of himself as a slave because of what he had done, but really the older brother was acting like a slave because he thought he had a place with his father based on what he had done. Verse 6, it says, "And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir." So from these passages and others, the Bible is very, very clear. You and I have a father. Remember that praise and worship song from the 80s? We have a father. I won't sing it for you. It won't bless you. Okay. But we have a father. And so this message shouts from the scriptures. And it is not an analogy. It is real. We are born from above. And so he provides for us and he cares for us. He is close to us. He brings correction and development in our life. He wants us to succeed and to be able to do the destiny that he's put into our heart to do. We have a father. Now, if you are here today and you are hearing my voice, all of us have had a natural father. There was only one person that was, you know, got a bypass, and that was Jesus from having a natural father. You and I if we're God's children, we're born from above, but we are also born from this earth. And so we also have a natural father, and there is something that God wants us to live under from himself, and really it was also supposed to come from our natural father, and that is something called the Father's blessing. The blessing of our Father. And we see this communicated very clearly in the Old Testament. And even today, in someone who is raised in a Jewish culture, has this understanding of receiving his Father's blessing. All right. So the fact is that the way that God made us is we crave it. How many of you know that as you go through life, or just go through a day, you have a craving for liquid, right? You want to drink something. So some of you have you like to have Fanta instead of Coke or water or whatever. But we have to consume liquid because our body craves it. How many of your bodies crave sleep at certain times, right? And so thank God hopefully every night we give in to that craving. Hallelujah, right? And there is something in our heart that we crave, that we need, and if we go without it, we're in trouble, and that is the blessing from our Father. Now, what this is that we are to live under the acknowledgement from someone else. If you have raised a child, you know what this looks like, because a child, if you ever go to a school assembly, especially little kids that are 4, 5, 6 years old, you know, they're up there to sing, and you know, they've learned their little song. Usually doesn't sound that great, right? But the first thing that a lot of those little kids do is, you know, the song is going on and they're just kind of mumbling, and then they find their mom or their dad. And what they're saying is, do you see me? Do you acknowledge me? And when they wave as parents, what do? We wave back. I acknowledge you. I am aware of you. And hopefully you smile, right? Hopefully you let them know that you love them. And see, a child has this need and this craving to be acknowledged by another. And we're supposed to be acknowledged by different people, but one of the biggest places where that is supposed to come is from our father, from our dad. And again, growing up at different times, I remember when my dad acknowledged certain things. And I don't know what it is, and I know, ladies, you need it too, but for a son, you just have to have it. You just have to have it. I remember one time, my brother, the same year, my brother graduated from high school. I graduated from college, from university. And then my two older brothers, same year, one got his MBA, the other graduated from law school. And so dad would tell everybody from far to wide. And you know how I repeat my stories a lot at church? I learned that from my dad. My dad had no fear of repetition. And if you tried to stop him, it only made things worse. So he's just going to tell it longer and stronger. And so he would just tell everybody. And he had four sons. My four sons all graduated this same year. And he went to all different, from coast to coast of America, went to all the graduations. And he was so proud. But I also remember when I was a kid, and I played lots of different sports, but I loved American baseball. I still love it. It's a very hard sport. And my glory days were very few. But there was one time, every single time I got up, the bases were loaded. I got two doubles and a grand slam home run over the fence. First time ever, and since then, I ever had my name in the newspaper because I was so awesome. But dad wasn't there to see it. He wasn't in the crowd. And you know what? I'm 47, and I was 12 years old, and I still remember it. And I still wish he would have been there. See, the father's blessing is when a father says, you are mine. There's a nice little song my daughter would sing with her friends. I belong to you, you belong to me. There is a connection. And there is a possession that I am in your family and you are with me. I am proud of you. You please me. I delight in you. When you wave from the stage, I acknowledge, I see you. And every child that lives under that, it is like a superhero power. When you eat it, you turn into a different person when you have the Father's blessing. We were created and hardwired to need this. Now, for us to receive this from our Heavenly Father, some of us, it's very hard for us to understand this because we simply didn't get it on the earth. Our dad was gone. He wasn't even there for our birth. Or he was physically gone, or there was a divorce, or we had a stepdad that acted not like a real dad. He was bad. He ignored us. And so we're supposed to get this from our natural father, and then get even a bigger one from our spiritual father. Now, why didn't many of us get this from our physical father? And the fact is because they didn't get it from their physical father. And you can't give away what you don't possess. And if I, you know, I'm looking back, my grandfather was a very educated man, a very professional man. And so all of his kids worked for him in his business. And so to receive his blessing, you had to be the older brother of Luke 15. You had to work for it. And if you did, you got it with strings attached, and you got it limitedly. And when I began to make decisions of wanting to go into ministry and go into missions, my grandfather was not happy. And he wrote me a letter. I went to a university. I still would go there today, Oral Roberts University. Guy that was on TV, and he'd pray for the sick. Well, my grandfather went to a little school outside of Boston called Harvard. Ever heard of it? All right. And so Oral Roberts was a little different than that. And so he wrote me a pretty strong letter when I was in high school. I was only 17 years old, and it was very clear, you do not have my blessing. And what was sad is my own dad gave it to me. My dad could have ripped it up. Could have given it back to his dad and said, thanks for the letter, but here's where you can put that letter. He's my son, and you don't get to talk to him that way. But anyway, that didn't happen. So you can't give what you didn't receive. And so we crave this. We want this. All right? It has to be given as a gift. You can't earn it. You can't pull strings for it. All right? And so for me growing up, I would say it, and I did have it better than some, maybe not as good as others, somewhere we're in the middle, but I received limitedly my father's blessing. But the limit where I didn't get it, it really did affect me. And we see in the Word of God where God says, I'll be a father to the fatherless. And I believe that means for orphans, people that really don't have a real father. But the fact is, all of us have a less than father experience. There's a less that God wants to make up and come and fill in that gap. And so I craved it. I wanted that. I kind of grew up under the awareness. I've got two older brothers that were, and they really still are my heroes. They're just awesome dads and husbands and crazy, crazy smart and very, very successful in life. And so I kind of grew up, my dad never told me this, but I just thought, they were better than me in sports and everything and just everything. And I just thought, if I was like them, I'd probably be enough. Did you ever feel that way? I don't know if you were, what you were like in your family, or maybe you were the alpha male and you were the one that everybody else looked up to. So we have this somewhat of a deficiency, somewhat of a hole in our heart. Some are quite sizable, others not so much. But then we come into Christianity and God says, I'm your father. And we want his blessing. But what we tend to do is we try to transfer what we kind of, how did the blessing work in our home, all right? And we transfer that over to our heavenly father, and we begin to try to get that from our heavenly father. But what you're going to see today is our Father in heaven gives it quite differently, quite differently. So again, perhaps you had a father that just wasn't there. Perhaps the blessing in your home, it had strings attached. It was like the ATM. You had to punch in a certain code, and then that wonderful sound that it worked, right? And so what happens is we... then we condition our heart and we kind of get trained like little puppy dogs. And if whatever we have to do to get the treat, we will do. and sometimes our lives get really weird. And so I've seen people that have grown up without the Father's blessing and without their Heavenly Father's blessing, some of them go into careers that they hate simply to try to prove to their dad that they're good enough. I've seen and I've heard testimonies, multiple testimonies, of people who will marry someone that they didn't love because the family has decided. And I have to have my family's blessing and approval. And so for the rest of their life, they're living in a home and they say goodnight to someone every single night that they don't even love. Why? Because they craved their family's blessing. And so there are these voids and there are these gaps that happen in our life that God wants to fill them all right now, and he wants to do it today. So how do we get our Father's blessing? In Galatians, we can see that we can take this slave mentality, this mentality that I am only good when I do, when I perform, when I've done enough. And that's the mentality of a slave, that I'm only here for my performance. I'm only here for what I can do. We take that slave mentality to our Heavenly Father. And again, whether you're a smelly slave like the prodigal son or a church-going slave like the older brother, we can still have that mentality. Neither lived in the reality of their Father's blessing. So what God has done in his word and what's possible is that when we have not received a blessing here on the earth, and even if you have, God wants to give you a bypass. You understand what a bypass surgery is? And, you know, there are certain, veins and arteries that are attached to your heart and they get clogged, they don't work. And so doctors go in and that vein that is supposed to be working, they bypass it. They take a vein from your leg or your shoulder or somewhere and they put that in, and so then your heart gets what it needs. It gets the blood that's going to cause it to function. And so if you need a bypass, I'm asking you to open up your heart to your Heavenly Father today and let him bypass and give you his blessing. Turn with me to Matthew 3 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 3. In the Gospels, most of what we see is the ministry of Jesus Christ. So for the last 3 years of his life, people think maybe from 29 to 32, somewhere in that age of his life, God uses young people, doesn't he? 29 is not young. Jesus was rocking the world at 29. Amen. That's why at Miracle Life, we don't have 30-year-old people going to youth meetings, because they're not a youth. They're a grown person, just like Jesus, okay? All right, that's another sermon. Okay, but most of the Gospels are the healings, the miracles of Jesus, the leadership and training he did with his disciples, the incredible sermons that he gave, right? His death, his resurrection, the passion of Jesus we're going to celebrate this next weekend. So that's really what we see in the Gospels, is most of that. But a few of the Gospel writers also give us some indication of what Jesus did before he started his ministry. What was he before he was Rabbi Jesus, Messiah Jesus? And so here in Matthew, we see that there was an event that took place, and you may have heard that it seems like after this event took place, everything changed in Jesus' life, right? He went and he saw John the Baptist. He was baptized in water, and the Holy Spirit came and descended upon him, just like he does for us at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He anoints us for service, all right? And so it was only after he received this endowment of power, that's when the miracle started. Have you heard that before? All right, something along those lines that so he had this encounter, the Holy Spirit equipped him, and then the very next page, here come the miracles, and his ministry started. And so how many of you know we need the Holy Spirit in our lives? So if Jesus needed him, we need him. But in Matthew chapter 3, I believe there was something else that happened on that day that was as important, or arguably more important, than the equipping of the Holy Spirit. But I guess we don't have to have a contest, right? But it was a really big deal. And when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him, there was a voice from heaven. There was a voice from heaven, and people heard it because they wrote it down in the Gospels, all right? And so God the Father was proclaiming something about his Son. And I want us to see what the Father said about his Son. Matthew 3, 17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." What was the Father doing? "Jesus, I see you. And I want the whole world to know this is my Son." Have you ever gone to a graduation? Have you ever gone to a wedding? Some type of an event, and you're there, and obviously there are other people that are there. There's, you know, lots of different families that are there for that graduation. But when your kid gets up, what do you do? At least in Zambia. What do you do? Yeah. Whoa. Right? And you do that for the benefit of the person who's walking. I see, yes, you've acknowledged me. And so God from heaven is saying, "This is my Son." Whoa, yeah. Right? This is exactly what's happening. This is my Son. He might be Jesus to you. He might be a good carpenter. John recognized this is the Lamb of God. This is the sacrifice. But no one else could say what the Father said. "This is my Son." And if you've ever raised a child, you cannot put into words how you feel knowing this is my kid. This is my kid. Now, the other thing was, first time in human history, not human history, God history, eternal history, was that Jesus was not in heaven with his Father. Jesus coexisted with the Father from forever backwards. See, we don't understand forever backwards because we don't do that, but God does. But Jesus said, "Okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to put on this earth suit. I'm going to be incarnate. And I'm gonna go live among the creation that my Father and I made. And we've got this big plan. I'm gonna be the sin sacrifice. But before I do that, I'm gonna show everybody what my Father's like. I'm gonna show up and I'm gonna shine." So God is saying, This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. You know what this was? This was the Father's blessing of the Old Testament. This was the Father laying his hands on his Son and speaking out loud. And it was always publicly done. It wasn't a private ceremony. "I bless you, Son." And that blessing empowered that child for their destiny. And so did Jesus need the power of the Holy Spirit? He sure did. But he also needed these words from his Father. And having received these words from his Father, that is why he was able to stand before the Pharisees and say, "What you think of me means nothing to me." Why? "Because I remember what my dad said. He is well pleased." That's why when his flesh and blood family came and said, hey, Jesus, what are you doing in there? You need to come out and do it. And he said, whoa. He spoke back to his flesh and blood family and said, who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? Implying, you're not. Boys, there's going to be a family meeting about Jesus after that one. Who are my brothers and my sisters? But those who do the will of my Father. My Father. I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. And Jesus would make these statements. My Father and I, we are one. Ooh, we're tight. He lived in the reality of that blessing. He lived in the reality of that blessing. He was so close. He was so aware of his Father that even at the very end, and he came to die, he said, Father, would you change your mind? Is there any way that we can do it another way? Right? He was able to speak as a son to his Father. He received his Father's blessing. So let's look. There were two things that the Father said. First of all, he said, my son. He said, my son. I belong to you, and you are connected to me. Remember when Jesus got before Pilate, and Pilate was posing? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know that I have the authority to set you free or to kill you? What did Jesus say? Well, Pilate, actually, you don't have any authority except what my Father gave you. My Father is above you. My Father is pretty important, and I'm aware of that, and I'm in relationship to him. My son. This is what the prodigal son heard when he came home, right? Make me a slave. I'm going to work for bread. And what did the father say? My son has come home. And the religious, uptight guy working during the party, what did he call him? He said, my son, all that I have is yours. He called both of them his son. God is not afraid to call Jesus his son because he is. What was the second part of what Jesus heard? He heard his position. He heard the reality of who he was. But then he heard the opinion that his father had of him. The opinion that his father had of him. So again, in a natural family, you know, I pretty much grew up in understanding that my dad was my dad. There was no missing identity. We speak very similarly. I've got hair just like him. I manage people very much like him. There's a lot I know that I'm like my dad. But the other thing I need to know is not just that, yes, I belong to you, but what do you think of me? What is your opinion of me? And there are a lot of natural fathers and mothers that they withhold their opinion to manipulate their children into doing what they want them to do. Look what you've done to the family. How can you do this to the family? And the real answer to that question is, well, you've been doing crazy things for about 40 years to the family, but I guess we won't talk about that now. Right? So I'm gonna give you my approval. I'm gonna give you my opinion with strings, like a puppet. And so we go through life trying to get that. But not so here. Jesus heard these words from his father. You are well pleasing to me. You are accepted. You are loved. Another translation says, you are the son of my delight. It was given by the Father. Now, let's ask ourselves a question. What had Jesus done to deserve this blessing? Had he picked 12 guys and formed them into world shakers? Nope. Had he healed the sick and cleansed the leper and cast out demons? Had he done any of that? No. Had he preached a sermon? Had he spoken up to the Roman leaders of the day? Nope, 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 nope. What had Jesus done up to that point? Jesus had been making tables and chairs. He was an apprentice in his stepfather's home, and that's what Jewish kids did. That's why he was called the carpenter's son, because that's what how people saw him. So he was, I'm sure he didn't sin. We know that. But there was no big, great thing that he had done. He hadn't gone to the greatest university in the world and got summa cum laude and 5 degrees and his name is in the newspaper. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Yet his father said, "You please me." New Living Translation says this: "This is the son who brings me great joy." Jesus, and I want the whole world to hear this, you bring me great joy. Chosen, marked by my love, the message says, the delight of my life. What was it based on? It was based on what the father, his opinion of his son. Now, when we read that, most of us would say, well, good for Jesus. I mean, if anybody is going to get an approval from the father, yay for my big brother. And we're back to where we were. Yeah, I know my brother's awesome, but what about me? Of course, Jesus got it. But see, there's something that happened when Jesus got it. In the Bible, God, in a couple places, in Matthew 7 and in Hebrews 12, God uses language that, you know, if you're a father, you discipline your child. If you're a father, you provide for your child. And so there's this correlation and this link that the writers here assume that we have, okay? You had fathers who disciplined you for your own good. How much more will your heavenly father, all right? So there's a link to what we got down here and a link to what God wants to do in our life. But the fact is, here's the thing, folks, is that when Jesus received this blessing from his father, and when you understand, there's a big, wonderful doctrine in the New Testament called identification, all right? And that is when we celebrate Easter, we are celebrating our risen Savior. But you know who else was raised when Jesus was raised? Colossians says, we were raised together with him. Ephesians says, when Jesus was seated at the right hand of the Father, we are seated in Christ. Not a whole bunch of seats next to Christ. Hey, Jesus. No, when he sits at the right hand of the Father, we are in him. So when he rose, we rose. When he defeated the devil, we defeated the devil. We got the benefit of everything that he did. We are in Christ. We have been made the righteousness of God. Not the righteousness of miracle life. Not the righteousness of your spiritual father, whatever that is. No, you receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are in him. And so when God spoke from heaven and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, guess who got that blessing? You did. You did. And Jesus said it. Look at John 17. John 17. I'm not just making this stuff up, folks. This comes from Jesus himself. So again, Jesus was always talking about his father and his relationship to his father. But then he's also then communicating it to his disciples. John 17, 20-23. I in them, and Jesus is praying to his father, I in them and you in me, all being perfected into one. Then the world will know that you sent me and understand. We're supposed to understand something. You see this? The world will understand that you love them as much as you love me. You love them as much as you love me. Whoa, 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 wait a second. Time out. This doesn't happen on planet Earth very much. Because in every family, you've got the superstar brothers and sisters, and then you've got the others. I'm sure it's in my family, my wife's family, there are those names that come up and people close their eyes, they bow their head, they look to heaven, they shake their head, they wonder, is the DNA test real? Right? Well, how's so-and-so? And then you have to be creative. They're exploring some opportunities right now. They're 46 years old, and, they're just in between jobs. Well, no, that assumed that they had a job that they've never had. Right? Isn't that right? And so if Jesus is our older brother, which the Bible says he is, wait. But the Bible says, Jesus says, that I want them to understand that, Father, you love them as much as you love me. Wait a second, but Jesus was perfect. And I haven't been perfect for a week. The shame of my youth, that's not a chapter, that's an encyclopedia. Right? God, how could you love me based on all the stuff I've done? You see, that's where we get it wrong. It's not based on what we've done. There's a voice that's coming out of heaven right now today because you're in Christ. And God is saying, this is my daughter. This is my daughter. And maybe your natural dad didn't come when you got 9 RBIs and you hit a grand slam. But your Father in heaven saying, this is my daughter, this is my son, and they please me. And you know what God put there? He put a full stop. He put a full stop. They please me. They delight me. They are the children of my love. The Message Bible says about God loving us in John 17. It says, in the same way. God doesn't love Jesus with Jesus love. And then he loves us with that human, kind of hold my nose. Oh, gosh. Human love. No, same love. In the same way. Same thing. Now, how is this possible? Turn to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2 and verse 10. God, that happens to be our Father, God from whom and through whom everything was made, that God, just in case you were wondering, the God who created the universe and sustains it, that God chose to bring many children into glory. Whoa, many children. Many is singular or plural. Not a trick question, right? It's more than one. He chose to bring many children into glory. Well, we understand Jesus, God, could go into glory. It was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them, that's us, into their salvation. So now, Jesus is the one. Now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. The old King James says, bringing many sons into glory. Whose glory? The Father's glory. See, in the Old Testament, his glory was at a distance, right? Moses said, God, show me your glory. You can't handle the truth. No. We come with Jesus right into the presence and the glory of our Father. Listen, the Message Bible puts it this way. Since the one who saves and those who are saved have a common origin, Jesus does not hesitate to treat them as family. As family. God said, my beloved son, the son of my delight, you are that same child to him. Many sons, many daughters, Jesus brings into that same position with his father. God the Father gives you a high five. God the Father stands up and cheers at your wedding, at your graduation. In fact, the Bible says he cheers when you wake up. How often are your thoughts towards me? God, you know when I lay down, you know when I rise up. And David in his psalm basically said, and Lord, this is, he said, this knowledge is too wonderful for me. What he was saying is, this is freaking me out. He is involved in your life because you are his child. He doesn't need another reason. You don't have to fast to get his attention. You don't have to make side deals with him to get his attention. You don't have to present to him, oh, look at this, Father. Isn't this awesome? It's kind of like the three-year-old who draws a picture and says, Mommy, this is you. Nice picture, sweetie. Now, we do some cool things down here, don't we? But God made the earth in a week and had enough time to take a rest on the last day. What are you and what have we done in a week? Not made the earth, I can assure you that. He's God, and he's interested in our life, and he's connected in our life only because we are his children. When he proclaimed this about Jesus, you are well-pleasing to me. There's a Greek tense of that verb. It's the Greek aorist, all right? I'm not a Greek scholar, but I read books by people who are. It has this idea that it is once and forever felt. Something that happened once affects the rest and the future. So, I told my wife 24 years ago, I'll be a husband to you once and forever. Right? At least that's the way it's supposed to be. Once and into the future. So when God says I am pleased with you, you are my kid, guess what? Once and forever. He's not changing his mind. I am fully pleased. You delight me. The idea of extreme satisfaction. Extreme satisfaction. You are the child of his love. You are the daughter that pleases him. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he carried a billfold, and I do, and it has my kids' pictures in it, God would pull them out and say, hey, you see that? Yeah, oh man, they're doing so great. Yeah, they just made a great decision. Oh, I just love them. And maybe your whole life you've thought of, I'm that other one. He still has a picture in your wallet. Well, yeah, he's just in between jobs right now. Yeah, I began a good work in him and I will complete it. When he is faithless, I remain faithful. It's my son. That's my daughter. Folks, this is who we are. And this is why the devil tempted Jesus. This is why the devil came to him. If you are the Son of God, the very next page, Jesus received this blessing. He heard these words, and then the very next encounter was someone saying, if you're God's son. And folks, we go through this life thinking, if, maybe, hope so. And I realize today that some of you, when we're talking about a father's blessing, a family blessing, here on this earth, it simply didn't come. It didn't come. Or it came very limitedly. But right now, God wants to fill up the gaps in your life and in your heart to receive His blessing on your life, so that you will really know who He is and really know who you are. You are Father and children. Amen. Would you bow your head with me? Father, right now, we thank You that You are at work. Father, You said that Your Spirit would confirm and speak and would tell us who we really are. And Father, right now, I believe that You're doing that for us. Father, You're speaking to people who never knew their dad here on this earth. Father, You're speaking right now to people that the only dad they knew was an alcoholic. The only dad they knew was a polygamist, an adulterer, a cheat, a liar. Father, the only, maybe father they knew was a professional business person that all the ducks had to be in a row and everything had to be perfect. And if we weren't, then it was not okay with dad. Father, maybe there are some here that had a dad who loved you and loved them. And they did the best that they could. And we're so thankful, God. But yet there were still flaws. There were still scars. There were still holes. There were still days when they weren't there. There were conversations that didn't take place. There was a blessing perhaps that wasn't given or not received. Lord, wherever we are in this fallen world that we've lived in the air that we've breathed in, Father, right now I pray that right now You are giving a bypass. Father, for women, Father, that as a little girl, they never had a daddy that would kiss them, that would hug them, that would let them know how beautiful they were, how precious they were. And Father, because of that gap, they went out into a very cruel world and tried to get other men to tell them how precious they were. And Lord, it's left them very hurt. A lot of bad experiences. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, give us a bypass. Give us a bypass in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I believe all of us, to one level or another, we need this. We need to receive this in a greater way and in a greater measure. But if you're here today and you realize, you know, man, I have really gone without, and I've gone without of really receiving my Father, Heavenly Father's blessing. But today I realize I can receive it. I can receive those words from my Heavenly Father, and I'll allow them to penetrate my heart. I'll allow them to destroy the lies and what the enemy has told me. And right now, wherever you are, here's what I just feel like the Holy Spirit is saying. I want you to come forward. I want you to come forward. No one's going to judge you. We're just going to love you. God has a plan for your life. But if you're here today and you say, you know what, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus. But I realize, in a sense, Pastor, what you said, there's like a hole in my heart. And I've gone, and there have been so many things that I've tried to fill that with without having my Heavenly Father's blessing. But today, I'm just going to receive it. I'm going to receive it. And God wants to do it publicly, because that's how He does it. So just come. We're going to just lay hands on you, and we're just going to pray over you right now. Again, this doesn't mean you're bad. It doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. It just means I need this. I need this. So just come. Just come right now. Quick. Just come. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Sam, do you know I have a Father? You do? Sing it. Just come right now. There are men that are here. I'm talking grown men. You've got gray hair. You still got a hole in your heart. You need to be down here. You need to be down here. Just come. Just come.
He calls me.
brothers. These are our sisters. We are in the same family. In the name of Jesus. This is my daughter. Delight in my life. This is my daughter, your father says. The delight of my life. This is my son. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. My son. This is my son. The delight of my life. This is my son. The delight of my life. Receive that today. My daughter. This is my daughter. The one who pleases me. This is my daughter. The delight of my life. Just lift up your hands. Just lift up your hands. This is my daughter. The delight of my life. This is my daughter. The delight of my life. This is my daughter. The one in whom I am well pleased. This is my daughter. Delight of my life. Hallelujah. 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 Here's what I'd like to do. I think we've got enough time. If you had come up here and we prayed for you, just stand to your feet. There's something else God wants to do for you. Just stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet. All right. Remember, Jesus said he brought many sons and daughters into glory. He's not afraid to treat us as brothers and sisters. And so that means all these folks are our brothers and our sisters. And so everybody else in Miracle Life, and everybody means everybody. So if you're wondering, are you everybody? Yes, you're everybody. All right. Everybody, I want you to, ladies, find a lady, and I want you to hug them. But don't give them like a little Pentecostal tap. I want you to hug them. Zambia just won the African Cup. I mean, give them a hug. Squeeze them. Men, go and find a guy that's standing up right now. And I want you to squeeze them. I want their ribs to crack. Man, every man in the house, you should be up right now. Every man in the house, you should be finding one of these men. You make a queue, make a line. Go hug them. Give them a hug. Hug them. They're your brother. They're in your family, and they need to feel it. They need to know it. On the back. Give him a full body one. Give him a full body hug. It's family. It's family. Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's all stand to our feet. One more thing before we go. Actually, a couple things. but every head bowed, every eye closed. Today's message was about your Father's blessing. And He longs to give that to every human being. But the first step is you need to be in the family. It is reserved for His children. It is reserved for His sons and His daughters. The good news is you can be in the family. He chose you before the foundation of the earth. He loves you. Now we have a choice to respond to that love. The adoption papers are already filled out. Your name is already there. Will you receive that gift of love today? If you're not in the family of God, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, maybe you say, Pastor, you know, if I were to die tonight, I honestly don't know where I'd go. You know, maybe you've put trust in the wrong things. Well, I was baptized as a baby. I went to a class. I've been religious. I've been pretty good. Those are all the wrong things to trust in. It's only Jesus Christ and the work that He did at the cross, His resurrection. That's what you have to trust in. If you've never done that, today's your day to be in God's family. Or you're a son or a daughter and you're far away. Your life is dirty, it's messed up, but it's time to come home. You're not in the family of God. You're far from God's house. And you say, I'm coming home. I want God as my Father. Wherever you are, just simply raise up your hand and say, I want to receive Jesus Christ today. Just lift it up. Just wave it at me. I want to make sure that's you. Who is that? Yes, thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, I want to give Jesus Christ my heart. I want to serve Him the rest of my days. Over there in the back. Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Thank you, ushers. Thank you. All right. Those of you that lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand, just come and meet me up front. I want to pray with you. God's going to come into your life. You're going to get a brand new father. You're going to get a brand new family today. Let's give these folks a big, big hand clap. Sometimes we think, well, what are people going to think about me? We are going to think you are so awesome. We're going to think you're so smart. We're going to honor that decision that you're making today. Just come. Just grab your handbag, your belongings, whatever you brought with you to church. I think there was another person. We don't want you to be missed out on. All right. Well, sir, if I were going to give you this Bible, you'd just reach out and receive it, right? And so God has a gift for you, and it's His love. It's for His forgiveness. He's going to restore everything in your life because He's so wonderful. But that gift has to be received. So I ask you, just lift up your hand, just like this, and let's pray to Him together. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe You love me. You sent Jesus Christ to die in my place. I give You my whole heart. I turn away from every wrong thing, from every sin, and I follow You now. Thank You, Jesus, for loving me. I'm in Your family. Amen. Amen. Awesome. We're so happy.